Wisconsin's offense has waited long enough. A new quarterback, a rebuilt supporting cast, no more excuses. Is this the year Jeff Grimes' offense takes flight or crashes before it leaves the runway? I'm Rajiv, he's Justin. Here we go.
Welcome to the Bucky Report, your destination for all things Wisconsin Badgers. Authentic takes.
Oh my God.
Game analysis.
Touchdown Badgers, ring one up.
And discussion from the fan perspective.
Woohoo!
Thanks for joining us and on Wisconsin.
Welcome into the Bucky Report. We are your hosts, Rajiv and Justin, back together on a Sunday morning to talk about all things Wisconsin Badgers. On today's show, we're breaking down what Wisconsin's offense is supposed to be in 2026 and whether Jeff Grimes finally has the personnel to make it work. We'll dig into the identity of the offense, the plays and personnel groupings we expect to see, and what held it back last season. Then we'll go position by position through the projected 2D, biggest strength and biggest weakness at quarterback, offensive line, and across the offense. We'll finish the offensive with offensive superlatives, including breakout candidates, the most important player outside Colton Joseph, and who has the most to prove. Ultimately, it all comes down to one question. Will this be the season that Jeff Grimes' offense takes off? You can find the Bucky Report on YouTube and wherever you get your podcast. Make sure to like the video, subscribe to the channel, and follow the show on your favorite podcast platform so you never miss an episode. Justin, thanks for agreeing to do a Sunday morning show. I'm leaving for Denver tonight, so for a work trip. So, hey, slightly different time, but how you doing, bud?
I'm doing all right. Got a new injury, as I was telling Rajiv before he went on here. Apparently picked up some tendonitis in my wrist. I would not recommend it. It has been pretty painful. I've never had swelling in my wrist before, but there are a lot of nerves that run through there. And when it swells up, they all kind of get inflamed and hurt. So it's not fun. Also, everybody give Rajiv a healthy good morning. He just rolled out of bed and is saying hello to all of us.
It is, it's, you know, bright and 9:07 a.m. out here on the West Coast. So I hear that, yeah, Bill Woj in my old hometown, Indianapolis. Good afternoon, noon in Indy, that's right. So a couple quick announcements. So the Know Your Foe series has been going hot and heavy. We've done Notre Dame. We've done Penn State. And we've got USC coming up next. Tons and tons of great content. So we are going to do our season over and unders next week. And then we launch into our full sort of final push. We've got media days coming up on the 28th. We'll do a media days wrap show. Then we've got fall camp starting. We're going to talk about fall camp insiders, camp up, stock down, preseason superlatives, which is kind of our second to last show every year. And then, of course, the final full prediction show. We'll get, you know, all the boys on that one. It'll be really fun to kind of talk through all that. But so much stuff. The Know Your Foe series has been really great. Go check it out. Got some really good feedback on how to improve that. So we're going to do that this week. But then also, Justin, we've got a pretty big announcement for the show itself. If you are familiar with the Believe Podcast Network, the Bucky Report is now a member of the Believe Podcast Network. So thank you to the people of Believe for believing in us. One of the biggest podcast networks that's out there, sports, everything else that you can do. Obviously, you know, you've probably seen Believe in Badgers, the Matt Perkins Show, and Bernstein. They're on the Believe Network as well. So thank you to the Believe Network for bringing us on. And yeah, so we're happy to be on that. Not going to really change anything as far as content production. All that stuff's going to be the same. We're going to be doing all that stuff. You know, we're just going to be part of that group. And go to Believe.com for any other podcast that you want to look at. We'll be officially on that website in the next couple of days. But yeah, Justin, it's nice to be part of the Believe. It's a great podcast network.
Absolutely. Rajiv and I have been kind of keeping an eye out for opportunities here now for a couple of years. And we always wanted a place that was going to allow us to kind of maintain how we do things. They've been very open and gracious with that, about letting us say, hey, this is how you want to do your show. That's that guy. Your creative side of this is on you guys. We're just giving you a platform. We couldn't ask for better than that. That's exactly what we were hoping for, is we wanted somebody who was going to give us some opportunity to kind of keep doing things our way. We like kind of the system we've set up. We like being able to do things with Ryan over on Lockdown, and none of that will be changing, which has made us very happy.
Yeah. Yeah. It's fantastic. So thank you to the Believe Network. And yeah, we'll be a part of that. You might hear a few more ads and stuff on the show here and there, but otherwise nothing's really going to change. Okay.
We'll bring Ryan in for ad reads.
Yeah. I'll do some of Ryan's ad reads over on Locked On. So I've gotten pretty good at it, but yes, he is the ad read master. So look, there's no secret. We talked about defense last week. We're talking about offense tonight, and it's about as bad as you can really imagine to see what this team has gone through recently, to see the points per game go from a high of 34.1 back in 2019, all the way down to arguably one of the worst numbers ever seen across the sport of college football. That's right, 12.8 points per game last year in Jeff Grimes' first year in this system. But my gosh, like, it can't happen again. It has to be a lot better. We talked about the defense last week, and now it's the offensive turn. So I want to just start off by this, Justin. Like, you've done a lot. You knew a lot about Jeff Grimes' offense back in the Kansas days because you looked at it a lot. What is it going to look like at its best? So obviously last year we didn't see that. We had a quarterback issue. But what does Jeff Grimes' offense look like when it's actually clicking? Like, what are we going to expect to see from this offense?
Yeah, it's going to have a ton of RPO. That's one of the big staple factors in what he likes to do. But there's a lot of mesh concepts. There's a lot of slants, that type of stuff. It is going to be some significant amount of play action and a lot of QB option. Those are the type of things that we saw at Kansas. I think those are realistically what he wants to do, especially with a quarterback like Colton Joseph, where you look at it and it's like, you want to put the defense in as big a vice as you can, which is to force them to make decisions, and decisions that are not like traditional to a defense, where normally the defense, you draw it up, each guy has a given thing that they're supposed to be doing. You want to put those options into flux, where a guy has to think for a half a beat, I have this or this I can do, and they have to guess right. Like, comes with crashing down on the option. If you crash, the edge crashes, then Joseph keeps the ball and goes. Those are the type of things you can't really plan for. Like, you're relying heavily on your defensive player to be disciplined and to not make a bad decision there, and you're trusting your interior defensive line guys that they're going to swallow up the running back. So there's a lot of things that we're going to see that I think he wanted to try doing last year, and we couldn't, for obviously a variety of reasons. The offensive line wasn't quite there yet. The QB situation was, let's just be honest, an abomination. And because of that, it was very difficult to game plan for what we had. I expect a lot less of the circus plays this year than what we saw last year. I honestly think that some of that was just like he was throwing his hands up and being like, well, let's try seeing if we can get them to at least be not disciplined and catch them on something, which gets us a big play. So I expect us to be a little bit more rigid this year with what we do. I do expect a lot more short passing out of Colton after watching some of his film from Old Dominion. There's no way that we throw the balls downfield as much as he was. It was actually kind of startling when I actually started charting it. And I'm like, he's thrown 10 passes and only one of them has been less than 10 yards. I'm like, in a traditional Wisconsin offense, like seven of those throws probably would be less, maybe eight. Like, it tells you how big of a difference it can make in terms of how, from an efficiency standpoint, in a better situation he'll be in.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with all of those things. The mesh is what I really wanted to see more of last year, and some of those quick slants, but I kind of struggle to, like, yes, look, when you lose Billy Edwards in the opening game of the season, obviously that's going to cause problems because we weren't really expecting it. But even when Danny O'Neill came in there, we never really saw anything click. And it is disappointing because I will say, like, I know that certainly from Jeff Grimes' perspective, like, there had to have been an expectation that this O-line was going to be better when he came to Wisconsin, and it clearly just wasn't. So you mentioned that, but it is shocking to me that it was so bad. I mean, it was so bad. And when I think about what went wrong last year, obviously injuries, right? I mean, that's a huge part of it. But it just, I don't know if it was a motivational issue. I don't know if it was like that we just didn't have the personnel on the line, and it was always doomed, right? Because no matter what happened, like, it, even if Billy Edwards would have been healthy, I wonder what our points per game average would have actually been. Truly.
Yeah,
go ahead. What do you think it would have been?
Well, I was going to say to you, like, if we had gone preseason and said, where do you think the points per game is going to be, set the floor, we probably would have been down at like 20.
19, maybe.
Yeah. Like, there's no way we would have been at 12.8. And, like, words cannot describe, which I think is why people are a little bit of like perpetual shock from it when we start to talk about numbers for this year's offense. And I think that they're like, oh, it can't jump that much. It's like, I don't think you truly realize how little has to be done in order to get back to like a reasonable offense. I'm not talking good. We're not getting over 30 this year. Unless everything just clicks into place and we have more talent than what we actually thought. But I would say, like, my original thought on this was for this year, and I know we're going to get to it, was like 26 to 28 is probably the range I would throw us in. And a lot of that is driven by the schedule that we have coming up this year. And a lot of it is driven by the fact that I just look at it and I'm like, if the offensive line is even like solid, you're going to be roughly in this range because you're not going to be leaning heavily on Joseph. Like, if he's not good this year, there's a lot of things you can do with him to be functional and be effective without having to put him into a lot of situations where he's going to have to take risks.
Yeah. Comments from our community here, Tyler Streber, offense issues, I believe, will mostly be solved if we can stay healthy. I just want one season for my sake and fix sake, just a full season with our actual starters for majority of the games. BTN Bryant says, imagine going to work every day and only having access to half your tools, program, staff, etc. Yeah. I mean, look, it's very clear that if this team stays healthy, we should be a lot better. How much better? You said, okay, so 26 to 28, that's where you're thinking in points per game. I'm a little bit lower than that. I feel like 23, 24. I'm not saying that's great, but I just think that it means that we're going to really have to blow up in those first two games, like after Notre Dame. I don't know that we're going to have like a 50-point explosion. I think we'll be solid, probably score 35, 40 points maybe, but I just don't see a lot of 40 burgers, and you have to have that early on in order to have those big numbers. We do play a weaker schedule. I can definitely see the defense ultimately being the reason that this team wins, and we talked about that last week, and I think their scoring defense is going to be really good, which means we don't have to work as hard. I think about it, the offense, like, you know, be positive and be efficient on every possession, right? So if we can just try to get the ball past the 50 first, that's the first thing, right? And then, like, so you can ultimately punt the ball deep if it's the worst case scenario. Get the ball in a scoring position, 30, 25-yard line. Maybe you get a three, maybe you don't, whatever. Or maybe you score. But I don't know that this offense is going to be firing on all cylinders, if I'm being totally honest right off the bat. Now, it's going to be better. I have many concerns about the O-line still. We've talked about that. And so is it going to be vastly better? Absolutely. That chart's going to go straight back up into where a normal number should be. 26, 28, I would love that, man. That would be incredible. But that means a lot of things have to go right. And we haven't had that much good luck, you know? Like, yeah, I think our defense is going to be the reason we win those games. Our offense is going to do enough. Our defense is going to be why we win.
I can see having that perspective on it. And because there is a lot of unanswered questions right now that we just don't know. I just look at it from the standpoint of, all right, If we're looking at this simply, like, where do we expect, what are the expectations of where we'll be from a personnel standpoint compared to some of the teams that we were lower on? I think across the board, we would say that we feel better about the players that are set in place than what we were early Fickell. I don't, like, the offensive line may have been somewhat functionally better, but I don't think the pieces necessarily all fit together well. I didn't think that the offensive line, like, we were struggling with all the changes that were taking place at that point in time, which, hey, could absolutely still affect us this year. We're changing coach again. We have to hope that you have a guy in Mateos that is capable of getting everybody locked in and ready to go. But I do look at this from the standpoint and say, we feel better probably about Joseph than we have at any given time. We feel better about the offensive scheme compared to what Longo had here. I think everybody feels better about that. Like, regardless of how you feel about Grimes coming into the season, I think we could all look at it from just a structural standpoint. If you're breaking down his offense, we all feel better about Grimes' offense than what we felt about Longo's.
Oh yeah.
Which felt like it was written on a napkin at like a Waffle House somewhere. And he's just like, oh, just guys, just do this. Start out doing that. And if you want to run to this area where nobody's standing, then maybe the quarterback will find you.
For sure. And we're going to get into the depth chart. We're going to go through all that stuff. We're going to talk about superlatives. But ultimately, I think that, like, I do feel a lot better about this offense. I feel I want to be clear about the offensive line too. I feel really good about the O-line starters. My concern is if we have injuries, that's where you, I just don't know
how. Let me ask you a question on that. Do you feel better about the backups that we have this year than the last couple of years?
Sure, I do.
Which I think is a reason, like a legitimate. It's not that it's a good thing, but it's a, well, at least it's better than it's been. You feel better. Like there are guys who I legitimately am like, I'm kind of curious how this guy reacts in the situation, where we had other years recently where we're like, no, it's not going to go well. Like this guy just doesn't fit.
Yeah. I mean, like, look, the Davis Heinzen thing last year, obviously like this year we're in a better spot, you know, Emerson Mandel's moving to his proper spot of guard where he's going to crush it. And I just think that like, and Haywood is in back and Kowacki, like I just am saying like, yes, you're right. It's better than last year. The depth is better. But when I think about Wisconsin offensive lines, because of depth and because of like, you know, sheer size and everything, it's, we're moving in the right direction. I just don't know the word there all the way yet. Listen, I would love to be proven wrong. I'd love to say that the depth is great. Blake Cherry and Simmons and all these guys coming in like Wilkins are great. And then they supplement well with the guys that we have in our youth. So it could be an awesome line. I'm just saying it's something that I just don't know that we're ready for 28 points a game, but nonetheless, you know, fair. It's going to be, we're going to be a lot better than we were. Okay. Let's get into the depth chart a little bit. We'll start quarterback. We're going to go O-line and kind of work our way through. And like we did last week, we're going to talk about who are two deep, but like who we look at as the two deep, and then kind of like other people in the room. And then ultimately biggest strength, biggest concern roughly for each one of these units. As you kind of look through holistically that offense, we're going to give you as good of a picture as we can holistically of what this offense is going to look like from a personnel grouping and perspectives like that. Start with quarterback, fairly easy on the depth chart there. Well, not almost, but obviously, you know, we're going to be in a good spot with Colton Joseph. I think the number two spot is where you kind of think like, gee, like, are there going to be changes here? I think ultimately though, Deuce Adams, you know, he's kind of the guy that's going to be the number two. I think Ryan Hopkins certainly has put himself in position, Justin, to be able to argue for second team reps. And should there be something happen with Colton Joseph, I think Ryan Hopkins might legitimately get a shot, but Deuce Adams clearly, obviously very skilled, very athletic, should be that guy. But I mean, I think the QB room is in a really good spot. I don't have a lot of concerns about this room right now. My biggest strength is the legs, right? The athleticism in the room is certainly something that we've not had very often, but I'm happy with this room. I don't really have a lot of issues because I think getting Deuce Adams, and then you know how I feel about Ryan Hopkins, I'm very high on him.
Yeah. I think this is where the vaunted or comes into play on the actual two deep that comes out. I feel like there's going to be a Deuce Adams or Ryan Hopkins that gets thrown up there, and it's a, what is the situation? Is this we're filling in for a drive, or is this we're filling in for an entire game? And I think that those two things may be different. And I think we'll find out on that. But ultimately, I think the staff would feel good about either one of them. I think this is the first season going into it where we feel pretty good about, number one, the physical tools of the backups, and number two, their knowledge and what they've kind of shown in practice. We've clearly heard people talk left and right about how great Hopkins has been, you know, for a young player. Deuce was one of those guys who really was kind of the quietly effective guy through camp, where he wasn't doing anything wrong, but he also wasn't necessarily setting the world afire at times. But it's one of those situations where you look at it and you're like, yeah, I don't really have an issue. Like I'm comfortable with this guy. He doesn't do a lot of stupid things that we necessarily aren't, you know, look at it and say, we can't have this guy on the field, but maybe the upside in terms of what he's going to do in a given game, you look at and you're like, we kind of know what we're going to get. He's going to run the offense and the play the way we want it. But some of those extras that Hopkins gives you because of the, just the, how dynamic he is, Deuce may not have quite as much of that in it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think It'll be fascinating to see what happens with that 2-3 line. But let me tell you, hope we never see it. Hope it doesn't come up all year. Colton Joseph, play every snap. That'd be great. We'd be in a really good spot if that happens.
Overdue for it. Only time they should play is when we have, you know, a blowout game, which hopefully this year we have three or four of those.
Yeah. You mentioned, you know, you watched a little more Colton Joseph. You mentioned it in your opening talk about the deep passes. So you're pretty comfortable in his ability to get his completion percentage higher because of the style of passing, the ADOT that we're going to have here, right?
I did the game against Virginia Tech because I wanted a power four team where you knew that even if they weren't particularly good, that there was actual like athletic talent on the field. At one point I had charted the first 11 or 10 throws and it was 1 out of 10 was less than 10 yards. And I think it was like a wide receiver screen that he threw out there. Now it started to pick up a little bit more after that, where there were a few more short throws, but it cannot be like put into a more strongly worded context than they absolutely will be giving him more opportunities to get easy completions in this offense. I would say, and when I was texting you guys, I said, he's like, I think at one point was like 3 out of 12 or something like that. And I'm like, if he was here, it'd be like 9 out of 12 for throws under 10 yards. And I'm like, that's a significant difference because most of the throws are going to be easy throws. They're not going to be a lot of, this is a receiver running a hard slant where that ball's got to be in the perfect spot or it's not going to be completed. It's going to be a lot of hooks. It's going to be a lot of crossers and stuff like that, where he should have a pretty easy time completing the football. And I think that the way I look at it is you're looking to steal a couple of easy throws here, you know, what, 1 a quarter, maybe 2. And suddenly you're in the mid 60s for completion percentage. And that makes a world of difference for him. If he can be that effective, you know, if he can make it from an incompletion, you know, being a 3rd and 7 down to a 3rd and 3, because he hit the 4-yard pass, that will make significant differences in this offense.
So you were comfortable, like when you saw him make those easier passes, he did them well. You liked the way he actually can make those happen.
It was what the thing that was most shocking to me is how little I saw a dump off for him. There wasn't a lot of safety valve plays in their offense. Everybody was like 10 yards or more downfield. And I'm like, you got a lot of boom bust on this. Like, you guys are either going to hit on a big play or you got nothing. And you're praying that he runs and makes something happen with his legs. And I'm like, that's putting a ton of pressure on him to be just a guy to make something happen if your receivers can't win. And to their credit, they got a lot of production out of those receivers. But if there were more times where you saw just an easy dump off for him, I'm like, he probably would have been effectively into the mid-60s to begin with last year. He just didn't have a lot of options to go to if the deeper throws weren't open.
Yeah, and I think that we should have those options here. We should be in a much better spot. And look, I think the number one thing we need from our quarterback is health. Let's start there. Right? Let's stay on the field. If I see Colton Joseph go down in week one, I swear to God, I'm going to just like, it's going to just be the worst thing ever. I can't even imagine it. Let's go to offensive line. So we got a couple comments here I'm going to star and I'm going to put up here to talk about this. But let's kind of just look at the depth chart, Justin. Give me your starters and your two deep-ish, because obviously I know there's going to be some swing stuff in there, but give me some of your key players, starting definitely with the starting offensive line.
Yeah, I mean, I think we feel pretty confident at this point. Wilkins is their left tackle, and then I think – I'm trying to remember how this lays out. I think it's Coverley at left, and then Kwicki at center, and Mandel obviously at right, and obviously Haywood at right tackle. And I think we feel like that's about as close to being written in marker as it gets – for the most part. I think there's a chance that you see Simmons start to push at left tackle, but I think that's more of a Wilkins has been pretty solid, but Simmons maybe has more upside there than a Wilkins hasn't been good enough. So if that's the case, I don't think any of us feel bad about it. You'd much rather have that depth. I think I know that you feel the same way that I do, that that's a concern. The tackle's more so than any other position. So I feel pretty confident it's going to be Wilkins as a starter, but we'll see what happens as fall camp goes through here.
And when you look at backup, so yeah, obviously I agree with that front line there. I mean, Coverley, I think, you know, there's maybe Blake Cherry obviously is going to be like the backup guard.
He's the swing guard. Yeah.
He's a swing guard, but it's like swing guard is Blake Cherry. Swing tackle is Lucas Simmons. And that's where you start to think, okay, now we've got youth, right? We've got guys like Davenport. We've got Ryan Corey backing up Kwicki. We've got, you know, but then you've got Barrett Nelson, right? And so, like, we've
That's
talked
about
him
for a while.
I just feel like if there's an injury to a tackle, Lucas Simmons plays tackle. Beyond that, we don't really have anybody unless we dip into the super youth, right? Then we're talking about the Roskies of the world. We're talking about those guys that, yeah, listen, I'm all for that, but I don't know if they're ready. I think that's where the issue is. I think I'm very happy that, first of all, that Mandel's back to his playing position. That's great. We had a comment here from Jim Mandel, Emerson's father. Thanks for joining us, Jim. Reason for positivity: Emerson played all 12 games last year on a bad ankle. You may remember that spring 25, he had a high ankle sprain that never really healed. Repaired with the foot in April, recovery going well. Outlook looks good. So that's good to hear, obviously. And I'm happy that he's back in his position. And on the other side, Tyler brings up a good point. We need to talk about it. Can we pump the brakes just a little on Haywood? Coming off injury and played as a frosh, but he's unproven at this level. We act like he's plug and play. I like him, but let's see it first. I want to say this, Tyler. I agree with you. We do act like he's plug and play, but I'm going to be honest with you. The reason I act like that is because I think he is. I really do. I understand the sentiment that that all Badger fans are like, okay, we lost this guy as in the spring, and then when he comes back, it's just good. His physical tools are that impressive, and his size and the work that he puts in. I think he is plug and play, man. I really do. And we could all be like totally wrong on this, Justin, but I'm very pleased with what the potential. It is potential because we haven't really seen it. And the things that we have seen do look pretty good. So I think Tyler's point is super fair. And it is probably, we are probably over, maybe we're overhyping it, but I don't think we are.
So I'm going to push back on it and say simply this: everyone that I've spoken to, largely coming out of spring, said that he was the best offensive lineman out of the group. Take from that what you will. I think that speaks to his talent level. If he is not injured, this would be his last season in college, hands down. Like, I think it's up for debate whether it will be now, but if he has a borderline all conference type season, which I think he's capable of, and I don't mean first or second team, I'm talking like third or honorable mention, because I think it's going to be really hard to get on the first team unless you're just dominant. But I think he's capable of getting to that level. And there's a chance that even this year, he's gone after this year. If they have a really good season and he plays really well, he is that type of athlete. Like, you don't get 6'9" guy who carries, at least, what is he, like 315 now? 320? He's carrying it really well. He's going to be a handful because he actually moves pretty darn good. And less is going to be required of him at right tackle than left tackle. So I feel very strongly that there's a legitimate chance we look back at this season and say he's the best offensive lineman we had.
Yeah, I agree. And I also feel like you're right. You made a good point about the right. Like, having him on the right just means that now next to Mandel, who's a natural guard, that could be a very, very nice, be open up some really nice running lanes on the right side, right? You talk about Haywood and Mandel, both like very, they should be really good run blockers. We expect that. I mean, Mandel is. I'm excited about what that actually can do. Tyler had one more question you wanted to ask. That's my last question. If he's so good, why aren't we playing him at left tackle? So I had the same thought, but ultimately I think he can do more damage on the right. And I think you said that right, Justin. Like, now on the right, he has less to theoretically do. He can be more of like that dominant, like, you know, put that, get that dominant push to be able to open up running lanes for Abu Sama, for Darian Dupree, but also be a great pass pro. I actually like him there. Ultimately, what I really care about is, can Wilkins do the job on the left? They wouldn't be doing this if Wilkins couldn't do the job on the left, right? I mean, do you agree with me on that?
And I believe, I think Mateos even said that he could play either. They just like the way that this sets up better. And this might be as simple as he feels really strongly he likes that right side for running game. Like, I wouldn't doubt that in the least, that he just looked at it and he's like, we get Mandel and Haywood on the right-hand side, and we feel very strongly that that can be a dominant right side of the line to be able to run the football too.
Yeah. Yeah, MB Anderson says Haywood is a lock. Old staff or new staff, doesn't matter. Everyone thinks he's a stud. I think that is a really good point. Like, and I've talked to people within the program as well. It's like there's no question about his ability because he's that good.
Yeah, it was purely health.
Yeah. Okay, let's move on to running back, Justin. So Abu Sama going to be our starter. Darian Dupree is going to back him up. And then we've got a couple other guys. We've got the Brian Jacksons of the world, and there's other depth. Do you think We get three. Do you think two of them pretty much get all the snaps? What's your outlook on the RB room?
I think ideally you're probably I think this feels like it's Abu Sama and then a bunch of what does the situation call for? Obviously the second back is going to be Dupree the most, but Jackson, I think, is going to get a fair amount of short yardage type situations, or maybe they have some times where they feel like that he can lean on a team that has a smaller defensive line where you have a bigger back that you can get powerful with. But I would say those three are the most likely out of the group. I'm not sure how much we're going to see from Nate Palmer. He feels like a future pick to me a little bit. And, you know, you're going to lose Sama. You know, we'll see how this plays out. But I think he's a guy that you like going downhill as having a speed back. Maybe you get some situational things with him where you're doing, like, you know, jet sweeps and stuff like that, where he's a guy that you want to put into those situations, or just kind of another change of pace. Because I don't know that we would look at any of the guys that are in there and say, this is an incredibly, like, this guy has jets other than Palmer. Like, he's the guy that's, if you're talking about a guy who's 4-4 in that group, it's Palmer. Everybody else has some decent speed, but isn't exactly, you know, going to just blow by everybody out there.
Yeah, yeah, I'm liking this room overall. I think Dupree coming back is a good sign. I think we liked what Dupree, you know, had last year. Yeah. Obviously, his you know, running back partner back there is gone, and that's okay. Like, I think at the end of the day, I'm happy that he's back. And obviously, we don't have Gideon Utuka, sadly. I don't really know if he's going to play football again. I think that he looked so good for those few games, I was so happy about what Gideon Utuka had done. But obviously, the injury is going to probably prevent him from playing football, which, you know, obviously our thoughts are with him, and hopefully he can recover whatever he wants to do in life, and hopefully he just play football. But Abu Sama is going to be that. He's the bell cow. He's the guy that's going to – he's going to be that prototypical Wisconsin running back. I think you could see what he did at Iowa State. I think it just works out. It works really well. And if the line can do their blocking, Abu Sama is really going to eat. And I think that's – we're finally going to get back to some respectable rushing numbers from a yards per carry perspective, from a, you know, 100-yard games on the season, all those types of things. I do expect – I'm happy with this room. I don't really have issue here. I don't have a lot of concern. I think – is Abu Sama going to gel with the team? I think that's the only thing, but I think I expect that to be fine. Ultimately, this room is dictated a lot by our offensive line. And I'll tell you one thing out of the backfield. Don't forget, Darian Dupree can absolutely be a good receiver out of the backfield. Like, that's a weapon that they're going to use.
Yeah. He feels like a third down back.
Right. Exactly. I'm very pleased with what we're seeing. Pass pro, I think, should be good. Darian Dupree did a decent job with that last year. We'll see how that goes and whether Sama can pass pro when necessary. But I think the room is in a pretty good spot. Let's move to a room that has been polarizing, and it's always the room we talk about a lot, and that's wide receiver. Justin, I think that the starters are obviously we're looking like we're in a pretty decent spot there, but Eugene Hilton, Tyrell Henry in the slot. Is it DiMaggio? Is it Brooks? Is it Rigby? There's some debate, obviously, what this is going to look like. And no one knows. We're going to see what happens in the opening couple games of the season. How do you expect these receivers? Who do you expect to kind of be like those top three receivers that are going to get most of the snaps?
Based off what we heard coming out of spring, I would say the most likely three wide receivers that I would expect to be out on the field as starters would be Chris Brooks, Jalen DiMaggio, and Tyrell Henry. I think that's the three that they start with. However, I think there's going to be a lot of sub packages here. I think there's going to be a lot of rotating. And I think fall camp, there is still a huge amount of time here for people to make a massive leap, which everyone needs to keep in mind. A lot of this room is new guys. That spring was them just learning everything. So now you come into the fall camp and now it's, all right, now I got to prove it. I think that this is where you find out which of the guys that are going to start to separate themselves. And we'll find out probably within the first couple of weeks who's going to be the guys. But I think I feel kind of confident that we're going to be like five or six deep at wide receiver. And I think it's going to be because there's going to be a lot of situational, you know, we have some bigger guys that can be thrown out there in situations where maybe you're near the end zone, goal line type packages, where you have guys that you're like, all right, I like to have that big body on the line that we can get away with some things.
Obviously, what's your biggest strength in this room? What's the reason this room is going to be great? What's the strength?
You know what? I can't say what really, honestly, I think there's a lot of versatility, which I think is what I would lean on. But that's not because I don't think they can't do it. I think it's because we don't know. Like, this room could be good. It could be terrible. It's probably going to be somewhere in between. And I think until we have guys that we know are going to be stars, it's really hard to look at any of this and say, this is what I expect this year. Interesting question here from MB Anderson about what do we think for personnel? I still think we're going to be at 11 a lot this year. I think 12 will be out there quite a bit too. They will go to two tight ends. I think that's going to be a base set a lot more than people think, but so is 11. I think those are your two most likely sets that we're probably going to see.
Yeah, I agree. I think 12 personnel is is going to be probably the thing we see most often, because we'll get a lot of, you know, we'll be in a good running back situation, good like rushing situation. I think you're underselling Eugene Hilton a little bit. I think Eugene Hilton, from what I've heard, he's taken a step, and I think Hilton is going to be a starter early on. Like, you're right, it's ultimately going to be a lot of rotational packages. I think DiMaggio, Brooks play. My guess, every year after the spring, and this is not a knock on the guy. I love Chris Brooks. I just think that every year we feel like we're ready for Chris Brooks to have his breakout year, and then it doesn't have it. I think Eugene Hilton, DiMaggio, and Henry, those are my starters. I think those are going to be the guys. And I think Rigby is going to have a lot to do with what this team does this year. And I also think that Brooks is in that mix as well. I don't know that we're going to see much of like a Zion Kearney. I don't know if we're going to see any of the super young guys, but I really feel good about Hilton and DiMaggio as my boundary guys. And then yeah. Henry in the slot, I think, has really earned that. He's such a hard worker. And I think that he's really earned his spot in that slot position.
Yeah. I think the way I feel about Hilton is that I think if we were on a 3rd and 7, I feel he's much more likely to be on the field than Brooks. When I say starter, it's going to be who's going out there in 1st and 10. Mm-hmm. It's probably going to be Brooks, right? Because he's the guy that's a better blocker. I don't think he can't catch the football, but if you're going to go pass heavy, I don't think you'd have Chris Brooks out on the field. I just think from the standpoint of who are your most talented wide receivers from a receiving standpoint, and there are multiple other guys that we would say we like their skill sets better.
Yeah. Okay. That's fair. just a quick reminder for those that just joined us of some content that we have coming up. Know Your Foe series continues with USC this week. Really successful shows on Notre Dame and Penn State. We're going to make a little bit of some change on that as well. Do some feedback that I got, which is great. Season over-unders are coming up next week, and then we've got our full sprint into the football season. If you haven't already, hit that like button and subscribe to the show if you haven't already. If you're listening on a podcast platform, fantastic. Spotify, Apple, wherever you get the shows. Follow the show on there. Leave a review if you can. We appreciate all the support of the show. Let's move into tight end, a position that we didn't really get as much production as we wanted to last year. There's been a lot of – this is actually the position that's most intriguing to me, because if you ask 10 Badger fans who's going to lead this – who's going to lead in receptions out of this group, you'll get three different answers, mm-hmm. which is weird to me. Like, usually you just kind of know who the starters are and who's going to be the guy. I know you have a different answer than a lot of people. I know I have a different answer. Like, where are you at? Give me your sort of depth chart for tight end right now.
Yeah, I think this is complicated because it is very much a position that I look at, and it's like you probably feel that the two guys that just transferred in are most likely to be getting massive snaps. I don't think they have the upside of the other two. So Steck and I think Bork are going to be the guys that you kind of are looking at to potentially make a leap here. But Harris is a guy that they really like in terms of his ability to, you know, kind of post up and be that big target with the huge catch radius. Not a guy that you're going to send up the seam, most likely. He's going to be a lot more of the dump off. I'm going to get you 6 yards and maybe, you know, fall down two more, which that's great. If we can get a guy out there that can consistently be a safety valve for Joseph, that's massive for this. I just think that those two young guys are kind of getting to the point now where I think they're going to start to make a splash. And I really like some of the physical tools that both of them have. And I think the upside is there for them to take a jump, both in fall camp here and potentially going into the season where they provide some athleticism at that position that we haven't seen since maybe like a Ferguson.
Yeah, I like a lot of what you said there. I think ultimately this is Harris's job, period. I think Harris, these are Harris's snaps to lose. That's how I would put it. Like, he's the guy that's going to come in there and get those snaps. He's the guy that's going to be able to stretch the field and be that receiving threat. And then I think, you know, him and Steck are kind of those guys that I feel like the 1-2. And then you're right. I mean, there's Schwendemann's out there. Bork, I know you love Bork. I think Bork brings a lot of physical tools. I think he will play a big part. But to me, Jacob Harris is going to lead this group. And so right off the bat, what's the biggest strength? Depth. I think we can all agree on that right now. Like, there's a lot of guys in that room. And the concern for me is just that will it gel with Joseph? And who will gel with Joseph? I think Harris could be, Justin, one of the leading receivers on this entire team. Like, I feel like Harris could be that guy that we look back at in November and say, man, are we lucky we got him, right? Because he is a very skilled guy coming in, a lot of playing time under his belt. I like him a lot, but I would love to see Steck as someone who I've always liked. We liked him coming out of high school. And, of course, Bork, you know, just so much physical tools. I'm happy with this room, really happy with it. And I just hope that we have a productive season out of this group, because they deserve it. Like, there's a lot of production that should happen. And I think Colton Joseph, especially in a Jeff Grimes offense, is going to utilize this group quite a bit.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting. How much would you like to have Lance Mason right now?
Oh,
he would be the leading receiver, most likely. If we
for
had
sure,
like, I would not be shocked to have seen him if he came back to get 50 catches this season. And it's because I actually think he was athletic enough to get himself consistently open for Joseph. And unfortunately, we just didn't have anybody that could get him the ball. Like, he could have done some work to help us have a better chance of winning games last year if we had somebody that was capable of putting the ball on.
Gosh, you're so right. I mean, we just had so many issues last year with that. God, it's like, can we please just have health? Like, the one thing I wish this team is just health. Like, we've done a show around Christmas time. Like, what gifts are we giving these guys? And we're always like, please, just health. That's all we ever want for this team. Mm-hmm. Okay. So let's move into some superlatives, Justin. Now we've kind of got through our depth. Anything else on the depth chart? Any players you want to mention that we haven't talked about that you know, like, you wanted to bring up on the depth chart at all?
I think running back is a really interesting position in terms of how it all breaks out. Like, what would you say is the percentage wise of the snaps go to Sama? Is it over 50? Is it 60?
70? I'm going to say two thirds. So 66. I feel like two thirds of the snaps are going to Sama, because, like, the dude, he's a machine, man. Look at him. He's built like a truck. I feel like he's got the body to just be able to play most snaps. I think Dupree's going to get a lot of look ins, but I think you're going to have a steady and heavy dose of Abu Sama, which will be good.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I think ultimately, if we're going to have the most effective version of our offense, I think he's the one that is the highest caliber runner that we have. And I think it's important to maximize him. Obviously you're going to use Dupree to spell him. And I think that he'll be improved this year too. I do think Dupree is going to look better than last season. Number one, he's going to be healthier. Number two, the line is going to be able to help him significantly more this year. Like, for better or worse, the offensive line is going to be significantly better than what we saw last year. It may not be incredible, but it is going to be a lot better than what we saw last year.
Yeah. Yeah. I've heard coaches from inside the program say that exact same thing. It's going to be a lot better than it was, for sure. I wanted to ping you on two other names, and I wanted to get your take on, like, sure, whether or not you're going to see them much and how you feel about them. Malachi Coleman, at receiver. Do you feel like we're going to see much from him? And also the other name is Jackson McGowan, who has switched over to that room from tight end. What are your thoughts on those guys? Do you think we're hearing their names much?
I don't think we're going to be hearing Jackson McGowan's name unless it's on special teams.
Okay.
And then as far as Malachi Coleman, you know, he's one of the guys that when I saw some of the film from practices, I kind of look at him and I'm like, I just don't see what this guy is going to provide from a route running standpoint, other than just basically running go routes.
Which has its value.
Yeah, it does. Absolutely. Because he is a guy that, for better or worse, if you do not stay on top of him, he'll run by somebody. And you're not catching him if he gets past you and can run clean. So you have to be able to keep him in front of you. But yeah, in terms of a route tree, he's the least fluid of the wide receivers in terms of what I watch. Like, it was amazing to me when we saw the spring and the young wide receiver they brought in from Arizona. I can't think of his name right now. The 6'3 cat. He was, for having a similar body type, looks so much smoother in like the short, like ins and out routes, and just flowed so much better. And I'm like, you know what? Like, he just doesn't, Coleman just doesn't look like a guy who, like, there's a lot of wasted motion when you have him trying to run these shorter routes where he just doesn't, like, his body just doesn't seem in sync. Like, he's a racehorse. You don't want to have him running around these little tracks like a dog that's running the obstacle course. You want him being out there in the straightaway trying to run away from everybody else.
Yeah. Okay. Tyler says Coleman is a good 50-50 ball guy if and when we need to do that. Yeah. I think he's going to be a bit of a gravitational force on the field when he's out there. He's going to run deep routes. I think if he can take advantage, like a trick plays, type kind of gadget type plays, I feel like he can be used there. I think it'd be interesting. I'm just curious if people, you know, think we'll hear his name a lot. Okay, let's go to superlatives. We've got a good amount of these today, similar to what we did last week for the defense. Put your answers in the chat. If you're listening to it live, definitely put them in the chat. If you listen to it later on a podcast, I'm very curious what you guys think about some of these, and also your overall takes and whether you disagree with us. I love when people put in the comments when they disagree with us. I'm all about that because I think it spawns good discussion. I'll usually text Justin and say, did you see this guy's comment? Like, I like it. So if you disagree with some of our takes, tell us. We want to know that. We want to hear what you have to say. That'll be good. Okay. Number one, Justin, underrated breakout star that could have a big impact. So it's kind of similar to what we did last week. Give me your underrated star that people aren't talking about that could have a like really big impact on this team.
I'm going to go out there and say probably Tyrell Henry. I think that there's an opportunity for him to have 30 catches this year that I don't think most people would probably anticipate out of him. I think everyone's getting hung up on a lot of the other receivers, and I think he's going to be a productive player for us. So I expect him to have a pretty solid season.
Yeah, I like that shout. I'm going to stay in the same position group and say a name that I kind of am contradicting myself a little bit, but Chris Brooks. I feel like it's time. Like, I hope it's time. Chris Brooks has had really good springs. He's one of the hardest working guys on the team. He's one of the leaders of the team. I still think Hilton and DiMaggio are going to be like the guys in that group, but I'm all for seeing Chris Brooks out there, and I think he could have a big impact on this team in more ways than one. I think from a leadership perspective, from a, you know, elder statesman perspective, like that, his ability to do that, and I think coupled with the fact that on the field, this will be the year that I think he kind of breaks out a little bit. So I'm going Chris Brooks on that one, and I really hope I've always liked Chris Brooks, and I really hope he has a good season this year, which would be really nice to see. Okay. Most important player outside of Colton Joseph. This is interesting to me. Most important player outside of Colton Joseph. Who's yours?
I think this one's simple to me. It's Abu Samah. Because if he has a really good season, then in all likelihood, Wisconsin's going to have a really good year.
So I hear you, but I think you're forgetting a big part of it. And if for him to have a good season, I think Austin Kowecki is the most important player outside of Colton Joseph. Because, so, you know, Tyler brought up a comment earlier about the plug and play for Kevin Haywood. We've been pretty plug and play with Kowecki too. We've been kind of been like, well, Kowecki, like he's going to be great. Kowecki was on a bad team last year, a really bad team last year. So I'm not saying that means he's not going to be great, but I think we're also like, we have this thought of Kowecki just being this locked on starter, and he is, but I definitely think he is the most important player outside of Colton Joseph, because everything about this line starts and ends with the center. And yes, we've talked about Mandel. We've talked about Haywood. We've talked about Cub and Wilkins and everything else, but Kowecki will lead that line. He has experience. He has the snaps. He understands how to play this position. As soon as he came on, we're like, ooh, hey, we've got our center. He's going to be great. Is he? I don't know. Kowecki is the most important player. And I think we got a couple of shouts from MB Anderson as well and Tyler Strieber. So yeah, I'm really excited about what we can see from him, and we need to, for sure.
To follow up on that, we have heard good things about him in camp. He's been pretty darn good in from both run and pass, from what I've heard. With regards to this, I think it's a really interesting question of who the true backup is. Right now, I think if we're leaning on it going into the season, this is one position we didn't discuss. We're probably looking at what, Styles Blackman, you think? is the backup. I know him and Ryan Corey are fighting over it.
I think Ryan Corey is the backup.
I don't know if it's necessarily set in stone. I think Blackman was taking a fair amount of those snaps too. So that is the guy who I think is the potential to potentially steal that. They're going to go with whoever they feel can get the job done. And I think that it's more likely that it's going to be Blackman out of those two.
Okay. I mean, look, that's fair. I think ultimately you're right. If it's straight up, he's the only injury we have, I think Blackman probably goes out there. I do think it looks at what the injury situation is. Like if we have, let's say Mandel and Cubberly are down, I think Blackman's going to play guard. That's where I would slot him in. If most necessary, I think Cherry and Blackman are like those guards, but I can hear you. I think I'm fine with Corey backing up. I think Corey played admirably last year, but if it's Blackman, I'm okay with that. But we need more depth and give Corey more time. Yeah. Tyler says Corey has having snapping issues. I think that's fair. We don't want snapping issues. We don't like snapping issues.
Rajiv will have a conniption if we
get. I can't. I literally
that first season scarred us all.
There's just no. And let me remind you of Tanner Bordellini and how the snap issues that we saw, we've talked about ad nauseum on our show and on Locked On. He plays for my NFL team. Those snapping issues don't exist for him, by the way. Guess what? He hasn't had a bad snap since he went to the NFL. I want to just tell you that again. He hasn't had a bad snap to the NFL, and I've seen him make all of his NFL snaps. It wasn't him. It was coaching, okay? Drives me crazy. Literally the second the dude got to the NFL, like, no, you can't do this. We're going to fix it. And guess what? It happened. Stop it. It's unnecessary. There's no reason for it. If I see it, I'm going to go absolutely crazy. Just stop it. Okay. Sorry.
No argument for me.
Okay. Next up, Justin, offensive stat you dream of seeing at season end. This should be a fun one. I'm going to go first on this one. Okay.
Okay.
Games played 12 from Colton Joseph. That's what I want. I want to see Colton Joseph play all 12 games. I'm sorry. I know that's a lazy take, but let me tell you, and I'll have another one for you, but come on. That is the stat that I dream of seeing. Just give me 12 out of 12 games played from our quarterback, Justin, please. That's all I want to see.
Fair. For me, it's going to be 2,800 yards rushing.
Oh God. Okay.
That means we were consistently able to run the ball effectively and against virtually everyone on our schedule, which probably means Wisconsin's looking at an extremely good season.
Okay, so 2,800 basically means that we're averaging well north of 200 yards a game rushing, right? We averaged 116.7 last year. That's a pretty big jump.
You said it would shock me. If it's a number that would shock me, that's a number that would shock me.
That's fair. My real number is, boy, I would love to see a season like, you know, that we could have like 28 touchdowns from Colton Joseph or something crazy like that. I'm not saying he's going to put up 30. I know that's a little, it's crazy, but it'd be really nice to see like a 28-5, 28-6, some kind of really great interception, a touchdown interception ratio, because for the last few years it's been pretty putrid. But listen, again, if the games played is 12 for Colton Joseph, we're gonna have a lot better stats than we've had in future years. Zach Bartz, his offense average over 24 points per game. That's his dream stat. Yeah, that's where I think we'll be, 23-24. Justin tends to always have a higher number at the beginning of the season, and then we don't end up having that number.
Yeah, I think I tend to lean towards where it needs to be in order for them to be effective. And I think like 26 is for the bulk of what we saw with Paul Christ, that 26 to 28 range is when he was in that 8-5, 9-4 kind of range. That was what he had typically for his points per game. There are a couple of clear seasons, and the 34.1 that you brought up was one of those where it's like an outlier year. Where it's like, all right, this is through the roof. This is way higher than what we normally score. But yeah, if you looked at it, it was typically he was between like 26 and 29 was what we saw for the bulk of Paul Chris' time.
Yeah, boy, it's really, really sad when you just look at a graph and you see where this offense has gone. It's Last year was such an outlier, but you know how you do. You throw away the outliers. Okay. Run pass split prediction. So where are you at percentage wise on the run pass split? Because obviously, you know, our quarterback can run too, but where are you at with that?
I think we're going to be, this is so interesting because this is a year where we may have some games, if we're legitimately good, where that running number gets skewed a little bit because we're salting games. If they can legitimately run the football, they may have some fourth quarters that they're like, all right, we get to run five straight times. If I were to go into this one early, I would say probably somewhere in the 43 to 45% pass range. I think it's going to be a little over, you're probably looking at a little bit high 50s for where the run numbers will be, which I think is actually a really good. Like if we're talking about what balance looks like to me, it's not a 50-50, it's a 50-50 yardage split. Like I want to see us, if we're going to run for 250, I want to see us pass for 250 or at least 230. So if we can get to that range, I'll be happy.
Yeah, I think 55-45 run, lean more run, 55 run, 45 pass. I wouldn't be surprised to see 60-40. I do think that some of the short slant patterns, quick mesh type routes, you know, crossing patterns, I think that was why it'll tick a little more up to pass, because that in some cases that having plays like that can be like running the ball. So I feel like it's going to be a little bit lean more towards pass than maybe some might think. But that's my prediction. Okay. Next up, number 5 out of 8 player we may be overrating. So this is always something that's interesting because let's be honest, like I know Tyler Schreiber's answer. Tyler Schreiber's going to say Kevin Haywood, but I'm not going to say that, Tyler. Okay, so Justin, player we may be overrating on this roster right now.
Based on what he's done up to this point, and this may break Rajiv's heart, it's Eugene. I expect, I'll explain. For a guy who was already in the offense for a year, he had everything in his like set up for him to be the guy who came in spring and was lights out, took that spot and owned it. And the fact that he wasn't able to lock it down, given that he's the most comfortable in what we're trying to do, is something that I have to pause and take a look at and say, you have this advantage and you're not exploiting it. So I have to look at it and say, what's going on here? Now maybe that changes in the fall, but to me, he had an opportunity to run out to a lead. And now he's going to have a bunch of guys who are almost as comfortable as he is in the offense who are going to have an opportunity to come after him. And we'll see how it goes.
The answer is wrong. That is incorrect. It is not Eugene Hilton. No, it's fair. It's a fair shout. I'm going to say Kowecki, and I said, so I have him for most important and most potentially most overrated, but we're overrating a bit. That's how critical I think the Kowecki thing is. And the more I think about this line, I'm worried about that. So I think he's fine, but we may be potentially overrating him just because, again, he came from a bad team. We don't really know a lot of good buzz around him, but that's my official answer on that one. Okay. So player we may be. Oh yeah, go ahead.
So what I'll say to that is, he doesn't really have to be good to be an improvement over what we had last year. Like, I don't think there was a center that played last year that was even solid. Like we were below average at the center position. And I say that, I get that we got, like, Heinsohn was admirable in his effort to try and play that position. But let's be honest, like that was an emergency center situation and he played it hard. So he was probably good for what he was. But it was, I don't think anyone would look at what he did last year and say, based off of what we're saying, that this was a solid to good center in the Big Ten. Like, I think he would probably have ranked like 16th or 17th in the conference if people were reviewing film.
Yeah. Yeah. I can understand that. I feel like I can hear that argument. Okay, Justin, underrating. Where are you at with underrating?
You know, I could probably say I think the tight end room for a lot of people, and I think people are pretty high on them, but I think that group as a whole, if you look at it, I think people don't understand what they could end up being this team, because I think that they're going to be the stabilizing factor in our passing game. And I actually think that they're going to be like, I think that there's definitely a chance that a tight end ends up leading us in receptions. And that could simply be there's a ton of 8-yard completions to tight ends where it's just like Joseph wants to take a shot, but somebody's not winning downfield. So he dumps it off to the tight end and takes the, you know, takes his profit.
Okay. All right. I think a potential underrated is Darien Dupree, because I feel like people he played admirably. Everyone kind of put Sama in there. We already said it. I think Sama will take a majority of the snaps, but I think Dupree was a really talented guy he's very versatile, right? Third down back, out of the backfield. He can go between the tackles. Like, I think he doesn't get the respect that he deserves, but I think he's a player that might be like under the radar that people are like, yeah, we could be underrating him a little bit. And I think he's a little bit better than maybe we expect.
Yeah. I think looking at what we had from like his high school film is still some of the best film I've ever watched of a recruit. There's just some of the freak of nature plays that he made was in high school. You wonder why it didn't translate better. Now he is not a huge back. And I think that that's part of what you look at with him is, you know, is he can be a guy who can physically get to a weight where he's able to be more physical as a runner. And I think that that for him has been part of the issue. Mm-hmm. But he was dinged up last year, so I don't really want to take too much away from what happened. Like after he jacked the knee up, I'm just happy that he was still able to play because we were a mash unit at running back last season. So being able to see him get out there and just gut it out and then have a little bit of success against Illinois with that long run was great to see for him. And I look forward to seeing if he could take a step and maybe get healthy and be a guy who can, you know, push Sama. Cause I think it would be good for Sama to have somebody who's actively eating into his carries a little bit where you don't have to burn him out and have him be a guy who has to take a ton of carries for us to lean on.
Yeah, totally agree. Tyler Strieber. Great comment here. Rajiv already rocking the Chrome W. That didn't take long. If you are watching on YouTube, heck yeah. I've made many comments on this. I was pretty anti this uniform right away, but boy, am I loving the Chrome W now, especially the helmet. That might be the sickest helmet I've ever seen. I'm leaning in. This is my Lambo shirt. So I get this, like, there's a whole Lambo like release, and this is one of them that you can buy. So I bought that one. Okay, Justin, player with the most to prove. Last two here, player with the most to prove this season.
Yeah, I think if we're being honest, there's multiple that we could take. So I'm going to take one from each position group and just to make it easy. It's Joseph at quarterback. No matter what, he's the guy that everyone's going to be looking at. Offensive line, I think it's Haywood because we get questions where people aren't sure on him. I think he's going to prove it, but I think that he'd be that guy. Tight end, I think it's going to be probably Harris coming up a level. And honestly, at wide receiver, Rajiv, I'm going to go back to him. It's Eugene Hilton. This is his opportunity. Like when he left, he wanted to be a focal point. It was part of one of the reasons that he was looking. I mean, obviously our passing game was horrific, which I don't blame him for wanting other opportunity, but he's also somebody who has a very high opinion of what his ability level is. And now he's got to prove that. Like you want to be one of the dudes in the room. You got to be the guy that comes out there and takes it and proves it on the field.
Yeah. So Hilton's my answer. I think he does have the most to prove because he did leave. He came back. And yeah, for me, it's Hilton for sure. But I think he will. Okay. Last one, offensive MVP. I'm just going Joseph on this. I think it's obvious. He has to be for us to be successful. I do think he's going to come in here and get that, you know, GP 12 games played 12 and have a good season for us. And I'm expecting good things from him.
I'm going to take the cop out and mine's going to be the offensive line. The group collectively as a whole, because honestly, this season, whatever our record is going to end up being is completely reliant on that group being able to keep people clean, whether it's Sama or whether it's Joseph. If they do a good job this season, we've talked about what Wisconsin is capable of doing. 9-3 is in play. Like if they're capable of being a really good unit, they have an opportunity to be the engine that drives this offense. And everything falls into place if that's the case. Joseph will have plenty of time to make good decisions. Sam will have plenty of time to find holes. And we'll hit that 26 to 28.
Well, let's hope we do. Wrap it all up for me, Justin. Is this the year that Grimes season is the offense takes off? Do you expect to see what the positive things you saw in Kansas of all that film you watched? Where are you at? Like overall big picture on this offense right now?
I think that we come out of this season looking at understanding what we wanted to see and people understanding what he's trying to do. I don't know that we'll look at it and say there's always going to be people that don't think it's dynamic enough or whatever. I think we're going to see some big plays. I think we're also going to have times where we're looking at it and we're like, man, if we just had one more dude at wide receiver, or, you know, if this offensive line was a year further along, or next year we look at it, I think if we all talked about it, I think next year we look at this offensive line and we're like, this offensive line could be one of the best in the conference. But I think that we look at it right now and everybody's kind of like, we need to see it come together. I think we do have everyone kind of looking at it and be like, all right, the people that are calling for his head and thinking he's incompetent, that goes out the window. And now they're looking at it and they're like, okay, so this is what happens when he actually has some tools to work with when he's trying to do his job.
Yeah.
And they understand a little bit better what he's trying to do.
Yeah. Look, I think that this is, when Jeff Grimes got hired, we were really happy about the offense he was going to bring. And we didn't see it because everyone was injured last year. And this coaching staff is owed a quarterback that stays healthy for 12 games. Mm-hmm. So let's hope that happens. I do think this is the year that the Grimes offense takes off. I do think we're going to, because remember, 2 years ago, we were saying Tressel, not going to work, bud, not going to work. And then last year happened and we're like, okay, yep, this is the year that last year was the year that Tressel took off. Yeah. And his defense became something that we liked and we're happy with him. I think at the end of the season, we're going to look back and say, yep, Jeff Grimes was a good offensive coordinator hire. He's brought a good system to Wisconsin. It's repeatable. It can grow. The personnel that it takes works with what we're recruiting. And it's something that can last for some time at Wisconsin. And I think we're going to see that from Jeff Grimes. And I do expect this to be a really good year offensively. Not amazing, not world beater, but 24 points per game from 12. I'm going to take that. Because remember, the defense is what wins us games, in my opinion, not the offense. But it has to be good, and I think it will be better. I think we're going to be happy that Jeff Grimes is here, because there were plenty of people calling for him to get fired. Plenty of people. I think we're gonna be happy with what we see, and we'll see how that goes. But who knows? Who knows? If you are still watching us, hit that like button. Thank you so much. If you're on a podcast, hit the follow button. Again, we are kind of a big announcement of the day. We're officially part of the Believe Network. So you'll be seeing that branding on a lot of our stuff. Thanks to them, and go check out everything else. There's tons of Believe podcasts out there. And yeah, we're 49 days away. That's right. We are under 50, 49 days away to the football season. We'll be in Lambeau Field. If you hit us up at Rajiv Batters on Twitter, at Bucky Report JJ on Twitter, let us know if you're going to be in Green Bay for that game. We'd love to see you. We're going to have a meetup kind of the night before, get some drinks, of course, tailgating. It's a late game, 6:30 p.m. Central Time. There will be a lot of drinking and a lot of tailgating happening. So that'll be a lot of fun. We'll be back midweek with a USC Know Your Foe. And of course, next weekend is going to be our season over unders. So much good content coming up this summer. So much to talk about as we continue our road to kickoff. Thanks for joining us. And as always, on Wisconsin.
On Wisconsin.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoy the show, subscribe to our YouTube channel at The Bucky Report or The Bucky Report Podcast from wherever you get your content. Until next time, on Wisconsin.